I'm Dean Newland, and welcome to the Business of Intuition, where I coach, facilitate, train, and speak on the hard science and meaningful experience of intuitive leadership in business, so you can make better decisions, forge real connections, and creatively solve problems to amplify your impact and simplify your life. Welcome to the Business of Intuition.
I think it was Ram Dass that once said that all humans have signed up for the class called life, and yet we don't always like the curriculum. Well, if I think about the curriculum called the pandemic, I would say that probably most of us didn't like it. It has been a huge disruptor in many, many of our lives. We know how many people, if we simply go to websites, that have contracted the disease or even have perished as a result of it. But there's been so many other unintended consequences as a result of this pandemic and how we have dealt with it. Depression, suicide, drug use, alcoholism, all have skyrocketed over the last 3 years. My next guest on the Business of Intuition has a perspective that says we should be taking a look at the pandemic and all tragedies for that matter, and all life situations, and see what we can learn from it. And her point of view is that the pandemic should be teaching us to be more creative, that creativity in and of itself not only creates better ideas, better innovations, but the process of being creative and even being creative with other people is a process of resilience. It's a process of healing. It's a process of us being able to be renewed and grounded. Dr. Nilda Perez is an expert in behavioral health, and she works with organizations to optimize operations and innovate their organization. She positions an organization with high-performing strategies and leading-edge practices. She has about 3 decades in behavioral health care, first as a clinical social worker, and then in various leadership roles. She also has a doctorate in strategic leadership with a concentration on strategic foresight, essential for forecasting and helping you design your desired future. Dr. Nilda Perez on the Business of Intuition. So, Nilda, great to have you on the show. I wanted to start off with a question and see what your thoughts are on this. We've been through hell in a handbasket. The whole world has over the last 2.5-3 years. Can you kind of give us your big picture view on the sort of the behavioral health of society right now? What's been some new symptoms that may have come out as a result of lockdowns and fears? What are you seeing people talking about that maybe wasn't as prevalent back in 2019, but now it's in our face? What are you noticing?
So I'm noticing that there's a lot of fear, and that fear brings anxiety, brings depression. During COVID, the PTSD grew something incredible, something that hadn't been seen since, I think, the last war. Because usually people that go to war are the ones that suffer from PTSD. But there was a lot of PTSD that came from COVID, the uncertainties, people not knowing how long this was going to last, what this actually was. That fear was, I have to tell you, I think, exacerbated by 1,000. It was crazy. It was a really, really uncertain, fearful time.
I know from my own personal experience, my dear mother was out here visiting us 2 years ago, almost to the date, because, you know, Facebook does these things where it pulls up. This is the pictures you posted a year ago or 2 years ago. And so I just noticed yesterday, there were some delightful pictures of my wife and my mother spending some really genuine, juicy, wonderful time together. And then COVID hit. And she went home just in time before everything closed down. She lives in assisted living. And that's when she was cut off from all of her friends, a lot of her family for months on end because of the lockdown. And I've noticed a huge change in her dementia. It's just gotten much, much worse. There was even a period in time when she didn't recognize who I was when I came out to visit her. So it's just sped up. And I just, that's just one person, one little story. And I'm sure that all of us have stories where our mental health, mm-hmm. our behavioral health has just really been under siege. And you mentioned the PTSD. I understand that. What, I mean, are there other sort of examples that you have seen a rise on? Like, are we seeing more divorces? Are we seeing more suicides? I mean, I don't want to get into a negative situation here, but I kind of want to unpack this a little bit before we get into some other things.
Oh, absolutely. The rise in suicide was astronomical. Again, something that had never been seen before. Divorces, because people were home together all day, every day. That's not, it wasn't, again, it's not normal. Like, kids go to school, people go to work, there's that, but there were families that were living in very, very small space, and it never felt, they almost felt like they were living in a closet. So it was very, very difficult, you know, for most families. And then for those that were home alone, those that were living, that didn't have a partner or family, because, you know, the elderly, they were completely panicked and they were all alone. So it was almost like a no-win situation, being with family 24/7. And, you know, again, it seemed like endless. Or if you were alone, then you felt isolated, you felt lonely, and all of that just brought, you know, just sped up a lot of, you know, mental health issues, you know, depression, anxiety, fear, like, you know, what is this? How is it coming? I mean, I had a client, because I still have a small practice, but so I had a client that wouldn't even look out the window because she said, I don't know where it's coming from. It was just the fear and the panic was everywhere.
How did those that fared pretty well through the last 2-3 years, were there any telltale signs that you could point to that we could learn from about how one goes through this sort of trauma relatively successfully? What are the characteristics of those people that you have seen and worked with that, yeah, it was a bummer 2 or 3 years, but I did okay? What did they do? How did they think? What were their behaviors like that made them okay?
I found that people that had productive jobs, people that became creative during that time. I had a client that had a very small business and in that process lost her job, and she just grew her business. It was unprecedented. So what she did was that she focused on that, and she did event planning. And just let me give you that example. So she did event planning, and that was phenomenal. But then now when everything shut down, she almost didn't have this little business and she had lost her job. She says, wait a minute, I have children. I have to eat. She was a single mom. And so she started she was just very creative, innovative, and decided that what she was going to do is for families that were together, if there was a birthday, she would deliver everything, leave it at their door, and then send a little video with how to set it all up so that they can still celebrate with the people that they had. And her business just boomed. People were calling her. There were a lot of referrals. So somebody like that was able to fare much better than the person that was consumed by the thought of, you know, when is this going to end? This is going to get worse. This doesn't. So it really didn't matter whether they were families or they were alone. It was the person that was more productive and kind of channeled and was able to make the change, was able to deal with the shift, those were the ones that fared better.
Understood. I was remembering my wife and I were kind of boning up on some old but timeless tools and methods that we may on this call, you may remember, but Stephen Covey, I think, had once this diagram where he had a circle that you would create a circle and then a circle that would go around it. You kind of smiling that you know where I'm going with this. And the inner circle was called, you know, the circle of control, things that you have ability to make happen. And the outer circle, all that space was the circle of concern. And so it seems like what you're saying is that a lot of us spent a lot of time being concerned about things that we had no control over.
Exactly.
COVID being one of them, you know, politics to some degree, or you choose it, that you just feel like I can't get into that. And so we, with that becomes a dis-ease, disease of your thinking. Mm-hmm. If you are in a position where you're concerned about something that you have no control to change. Right. And so I think what you're saying is these people kind of hunkered down in creating things that they could make happen that was within that circle of control. Does that seem to fit with what you're saying?
1,000%. That's it. And the more creative they were, I mean, the more time they spent, because now they had the time. So the more time they spent creating, the better their mental health.
So now we're beginning to, I mean, here we are today. It's, you know, we're at the beginning of March 2022. You know, who knows how long this particular episode will be listened to in the future. You know, right now the world is focusing on situations in Russia and that whole invasion that's taking place. But the pandemic seems to be coming less newsworthy. We're beginning to show and see companies bringing people back to their headquarters. Schools are taking masks off their kids. The numbers have come way down, and who knows whether another surge will happen. But for now, there seems to be a collective sigh. What are you recommending for people and organizations as we are in this new phase regarding their behavioral, their mental health?
See, the one thing that I've learned in my 28 years of being in this field and in this space is that every time that there's a crisis, behavioral health, mental health, they're the ones that always like come to the rescue. Mm. Whether that be 9/11, whenever there's a crisis, they're the ones that people run to because, again, every time that there's fear, this is when they see the need for behavioral right. health. So what I believe is that this is the reason why this is an ever-changing world. And I think, you know, we're going to have a lot more crises. This is just my personal prediction. There's going to be a lot more crises now and in the future that I feel that this is a good time now that there's this little bit of a lull, not a lot, but a little bit because we have Russia and that's a whole other ball game. And I feel that this is the perfect time to be able to make changes, to look at what the needs are and become more creative. Look, innovation is needed in every business because things change and you need to be ahead of the game. But I find it, and maybe that's because it's near and dear to my heart, you know, anything with healthcare and behavioral health, that's where I see that this is like the perfect timing. Now that things have simmered down a little bit, to be able to be more creative, what services, how are operations, how are we performing to the highest, you know, are we high performance, are we to the best of our ability? What are the things that, and I think this is a good time to look at that. What are the things that we can do now for the next crises?
Got it. So you mentioned the fact that the mental health professional is the one that often comes in and becomes the person or the organization that tries to fill the gap, to be those who are mm-hmm. the heroes, if you will. You know, they yeah. wouldn't call themselves, I suppose, because they're so modest, but they're the ones who rescue us from these tragedies that happen. I guess my question is that there, I am noticing in healthcare, which is a broader subject, which includes, I'm sure, mental and behavioral health, mm-hmm. that there is tremendous burnout in the caregivers. And it is an epidemic in many ways. Mm-hmm. I heard some sort of statistic that 500,000 nurses are leaving the industry not to return. It's incredible. And so my question is, do we need to look at healthcare, including mental health, with a different lens? Do we need to be taking better care of the care provider in order for them to take care of the person that which they're trying to care for?
100%. Absolutely. It's imperative. It's not even, it'll be a total game changer. You know, and it may not seem cost effective, but I think in the long run, it will be. So creating ways that they can give nurses a break, give doctors a break, and just mental health time off, that's not part of the vacation, giving them that time that they need. Because these are the caregivers. You know, what are we waiting for? So, you know, we're waiting so that we don't have any more like people to help. You know, it's going to continue to happen. And so, yeah, taking care of those caregivers is detrimental to, you know, keeping healthcare alive and having good nurses, because most of the ones that are leaving are the best ones because right. They care so much. Those are the ones that are burning out.
Right. So, and that's the paradigm shift. I think that there is a certain altruistic giving personality that gets into healthcare, maybe even in particular nursing, because of that sense of selfless giving to another person. But at some point, it takes a toll on that person, and they are no longer able to give to others the way they would like because they are depleted themselves. There's a Absolutely. Book I haven't read, maybe you've seen, it's called The Patient Comes Second. And this was written before the pandemic, I think a few years before, and I'm now curious about it, but it's this sense that, you know, Mayo's got their own, you know, tagline that says the need of the patient comes first, right? And I totally understand that. And mm-hmm. I think that if organizations can start shifting towards, that's the ultimate outcome. We want that, but we have to do a better job of taking care of ourselves. And if we do, we'll take better care of other people. And that's a metaphor for any industry, right? Healthcare, right. Whatever you're doing, you know.
But healthcare and behavioral health, those are fields that it's all about giving and there's no taking in return. It's all pouring out and there's nothing to take back. And if we want to use a metaphor, a really good metaphor is when you're on a plane, they tell you, listen, if the plane starts going down, you put your mask on first. And right. after you put your mask on, then you help others.
Right.
So, but why are we not applying that in healthcare? Why are we not applying that to behavioral health?
Why?
If you have a healthy caregiver, you have a healthy patient.
I was just talking to a doc yesterday about this very topic, Nilda, and it's fascinating because it comes down to, I think, tell me if you think I'm right or not. I want to get your thoughts on this, but the core of this at the most dramatic is that you're in an OR, you got a patient who's coding, and you got to save their flipping life. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I may have to go to the bathroom, I may be tired, I haven't slept for 2 days, whatever, but I got to save this person's life, right? It's life or death. The tension, the drama, the stakes are very, very high. Yeah. And if that's sort of the root, the cause, the nucleus of the ultimate expression of healthcare, then you could sort of see how that gets permeated in how we deal with nursing, how we deal with mental health, how we deal with mm-hmm. scheduling, how we deal with everything, because that's sort of the genesis of this whole mindset that I have to save somebody else. And I think that's where it starts. But what is your thought?
Yeah, 100%. And that, like, okay, so not only that, everybody needs some time off, like even Superman.
Right.
So we have to take that and we need to apply it. That's what you're saying. Our people, our nurses, our doctors, our therapists, are they really operating in high performance? And if they're not, it's not because they don't love their job. It's not because they don't love what they do. There's a flaw in the system. And we need to look at that system differently. What can we as, you know, CEOs and as, you know, decision makers, what can we implement to make them better so that they can deliver better services? So
it's
looking at the whole thing.
Really is. And I know you're passionate about innovation too, but I want to throw out another reference here real quick. There's an article I read a while back called Why Hospitals Don't Learn from Failure. And it won a bunch of awards, and it was a Harvard study that took place over several mm-hmm. years, and it was focusing on a nursing unit. And basically, the long story short is that the healthcare organization and the nurses in particular were being rewarded for execution and being resourceful, getting things when others couldn't get things. And so what you began to realize is that these organizations are set up for execution. They're not set up for learning. They're not set up for innovation. Mm-hmm. And as I began to read this article, I realized, wait a minute, and that's the brilliance of this article, is that this is not just about healthcare. This is about most organizations, that we are set mm-hmm. up to get stuff done. We're not set up necessarily to learn how we are doing it, which if we did, we would get things done better. So what's your thought on that?
Yeah, so, and I'm going to take a couple steps back because you said something that I'm focused on innovation. But if we can come up with an innovative way to help our providers be better at what they do, giving them time off, whatever it is, like do that study and figure out what they need and give them that. That's an innovation because mm-hmm. it's something that's never been done before. Innovation is not technology, or it's not only technology. We right. need to create ways to do things differently and better. And so if we start there, that's miraculous. That'll be right there. That'll be a phenomenal study. It'll be a phenomenal step that this organization takes that could be replicated in any organization. You know, creating ways that we can help our staff, our providers be better. Be better. And if that means time off, give it to them.
So scenario. All right. So I'm listening to you, Nilda. It sounds great. I work for an organization that provides to the public mental health and behavioral health services. So we're the organization that helps deliver that service. And I got you contracted to help us out. And I'm hearing what you're saying on this little podcast. And you go, man, she's onto something, right? We're not very innovative. We're doing what we've always done the way we've always done it for years.
Exactly.
We're definitely feeling the strain of burnout. We're concerned about the great resignation because 50% of all people seem to be on the active hunt for new work. We don't want to lose anybody. And we bring you in. What's the first thing that you do? How can you help us?
So what we do is that we look at the whole operations. How are you operating? What is going on? How is the performance? Is the performance heightened? Are you operating in high performance? What is your process? We look at everything and then start helping to make those tweaks to become more creative. So it's looking at the whole picture. It's not centralized on one thing because, of course, better programming is always better, delivering better services, looking at what the needs of the community are. But if your operations and your performance is not to the best of its ability, you're just taking on more work and depleting your providers more.
Well, it sounds like you do obviously a deep dive assessment. You try to understand what's going on before you start making solutions or suggestions for solutions with that organization.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely.
You made this connection before. You've used the word creativity a few times in this conversation in relationship to almost mental health. So it sounds like part of what you are seeing in your work is that through innovative thinking and processes and the creativity that comes from that, one of the benefits is new ideas, new processes, new ways to do things that are going to make us more successful. But also those involved in those processes, because they are creative, have better mental health.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anything that's mundane gets boring and it's challenging to our mental health. Yeah. And this includes providers. So doing the same thing every day, but if we were challenged to be creative, to be, you know what, we've been doing this process this way for a long time. Why don't we try doing it differently? Because here's the thing, the world is changing. Everything's changing. So why aren't our services changing? Why aren't our operations changing? Why isn't the way we do things changing?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and they come in with a new technology. So now we have computers or now we're doing telehealth. And well, that's great. But if there's a flaw in the system, it's just a new work. In the very beginning of the COVID epidemic, I was getting calls from my colleagues. They were stressing out. They're like, I've never touch the computer, you know, other than like for my notes. And, you know, how, I don't have no idea how to do this. And they were so stressed and nobody cared. Like nobody tried to take the time to help them. And I was in the midst of my own, you know, because that was a huge shift, because then my practice grew because it was like such a desperate need. So I say all that to say there wasn't a preparation and people were stressing. They were not taught to be creative. They were not taught to be, so they thought this was overwhelming. Now, these are the people that are helping the people in need. And they're overwhelmed, you know, to start with it. And you know, I one of the things that I said to one of the people that I worked with, I said, you know, COVID affected everyone. Just because we're providers doesn't mean that people around us did not get sick. People around us did not die. You know, we were dealing with our own. And now to throw into that, you know, throwing the wrench of, okay, now you need to, you know, use, you know, do this thing, telehealth. And, you know, they were not used to it. It was overwhelming with on top of the crises. Nobody took that into consideration.
I keep seeing this through line. Yeah. Like the COVID taught us that we need to be more creative.
Yeah. We need to see, the thing is we can't, and we did, I have to tell you, I have to tip my hat to behavioral health. They did a phenomenal job. They were boots on the ground and they made it happen. But at what expense?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And
if
that's
always,
the sad
yeah.
part. Right. So, right. you know, I have to toot their horn because, you know, we in behavioral health, we made it happen. But it was so difficult for so many. And the older therapists, they threw in the towel. They said, I can't do it. I can't do this because it was too overwhelming and they didn't know. So that's why this is a really good time to be able to look at everything. How are we operating? What can we do? How can we start teaching now? And even creating new ways to do things for the next crisis, because crises come. They happen. They happen all the time.
All the time, right. You're right on. I think what I would say in another way is to say, you know, in business terms, we got to do a postmortem on this whole experience, whether that be in our families. What did we learn over the last 2 years? You know, how do we pull together? How do we give each other more tolerance during tough times? How do we, you know, share space that's maybe really restrictive and see the best in each other? How do we as organizations, you know, build in resilience while we are putting out fires? You know, all sorts of lessons learned. I mean, we can look back before we go, yay, COVID's done, let's go back to the way things were. I think we've missed the whole point of what this whole cosmic situation is trying to teach us, which I think is what you're saying, is we got to be more creative. We got to be more intentional about our innovation. We got to be more of a learner versus just a doer.
A doer. Yeah. I mean, because it worked, but do we want to continue to operate that way?
Right.
Does that make sense to continue to operate that way? I think not. So, in that case, Sue, we need to find new ways and we need to do that now. This is like the perfect timing, even though right now we're going through another small crisis and we don't know what this is going to bring.
Right.
It's still the perfect time to look at everything. How are we operating? Is this the ultimate performance? Can we do better? What can we change? Let's make this work. Let's just, again, let's not wait till there are boots on the ground and we have to, you know, run around, that we're prepared, better prepared for that. And that we have not only things in place, but that we're already comfortable with our new systems.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know? Exactly. Well, know that you're doing some really important work. Obviously, it's so, so timely, given where we are and where we've been and where we're going. How can people learn more about you, connect to you, understand more about what you're doing? You know, give us a little bit of spiel on that.
Okay. So if they go to my website, drnildaperez.com, they will be able to get a 30-minute, you know, I'm willing to talk to anybody, a 30-minute consultation. And that's the best way to contact me is through the website.
And if I'm a person who wants to do that, what kind of person would I be? Am I an individual, anybody out there on the planet who's dealing with some stress? Or am I an organization who deals with people who deal with these stress? Who is the right client to be connecting to that 30-minute free consultation?
Okay, so the right client would be an organization.
Got it.
Or a practice that wants to grow and wants to be more innovative. Their focus is growth. And they want to be more creative and are kind of in this stuck, not exactly sure what to do. Sometimes we're so close to it that we don't see the forest from the trees. So right. That's a person that wants to have that. They want to develop a culture of creation and innovation. So that would be the right person to call me. But it's organizations that I work with. I don't work with individuals.
Understood. Good to clarify that. Well, Dr. Nilda Perez, thank you so much for being a guest on the show and keep up the good work.
Thank you. It was great being here.
Thank you for listening to The Business of Intuition. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about Dean or Mission Facilitators Leadership, go to mfileadership.com. That's mfileadership.com.